which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Every soul we long to reach,
every heart we hope to teach,
everywhere we share His peace,
is only by His grace.
Supplies, strength alone, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone, grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown. He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone.
We will go forth.
We will go forth.
We will go forth.
We will go in grace alone.
In grace alone.
Amen.
Thank you, folks, for the good singing this morning. Open your Bible to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And we're going to be there for a little while. We're going to turn over to the book of Isaiah. So if you brought your Bible this morning, open to Psalm 19. Getting familiar with it, middle book in the Bible, chapter 19. And I'll give you just a moment to find it. We'll stand together, read a couple of verses, and jump into the passage for our message on this good Sunday morning. Appreciate you being here. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good Word. Follow along. I'll read verse number 1. David is writing here. He's the human pen for these words. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Look down at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Then verses 8 and 9, he speaks more about the Word of God. Then look at verse number 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject for our profit and our pleasure. For our profit and our pleasure. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You this morning. We are a needy people. God, we're in need of Your blessing today. We've met, we've assembled. Lord, we've been here for the Sunday school hour, now church. But Lord, all of that is in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Unless the Holy Spirit of God chooses to embrace us, Lord, with His blessing and power this morning. And we look to You, we admit that, we confess that, full well knowing that without His help, Lord, all will be vain. So control both speaker and listener. May we come with, Lord, a ready heart. May we come with a willing spirit, an attentive mind to hear the message from Your book this morning. And we'll thank You for it. God be our help, please, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, imagine with me a period of time before electricity, before the invention, if you will, of artificial light. There are no huge light poles. There are no large cities using electricity to light up the roads and the streets therein. No glow in the sky from a distance indicating a large city with many lights, like the city of Chicago. You can just look north and you can see the glow in the distant horizon, indicating a large city. Imagine a young shepherd boy watching the flocks of his father's sheep and sometimes staying with the herd at night as they were feeding in places far removed from the sheepfold. Imagine the sheep settling down for the night and the young man sitting beside a small fire to keep him warm and or safe. And having eaten his supper, he unrolls that bedroll that he brought with him as he prepares to go to sleep for the evening. Imagine what he sees as he looks into the heavens. Imagine the brightness and the clarity of a sky that is unhindered by artificial light. And folks, if you ever get far away from artificial light and gaze into the heavens, it's spectacular. It's spectacular. Imagine the sunrises he witnesses out on those hills with the sheep herd. Imagine the sunsets that he views. Imagine at night the shooting stars as they burn out in a blaze shooting across. Just imagine that. It's hard for us to do that because we live so close to a place like Chicago with so much artificial light. Even in our area, it dims the heavens, if you will. But out there, he could see it. And that young man has been properly taught by his dad, has been properly taught by his mother. What he witnesses every day and night, he knows did not evolve from some big bang. Rather, it was the very creation of God. He was looking at God's world. God's heaven, created by God Himself. And David witnesses the glory of God in creation, and he writes about it in verses 1 through 6. He writes about the period called day in verse number 2. He writes about the period called night in verse number 2. He writes about the heavens. He writes about the sun. And David writes or speaks about all of it. And he said, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars and all of the heavens, they preach a message every 24 hours. They preach a message. Somebody put this here. Somebody made this. Somebody holds all this together. That's the message the heavens tell an honest person. The heavens do not tell anybody that it evolved some billions and billions of years ago from nothing. That's somebody who denies the truth and holds it in unrighteousness. David witnessed it. He wrote about it. The wonder of it. The glory of it. But I'm not going to linger there this morning. In the same chapter, David shifts gears and he transitions from speaking about God's world to speaking about God's Word. And that's what he starts talking about in verse number 7. I preached a message, and it's not been that long ago, on how do you top that? You ever been around somebody that told a story so magnificent or told about some event so wonderful and you thought, how do you top that? How do you top God's creation? You top that with God's Word. And he starts writing about God's Word in verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is complete and without error. And he says the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's steadfast and foundational. And he says making wise the simple. It will help people. The statutes of the Lord are right as opposed to wrong. The commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. All together, 6 statements. All of them refer to the Word of God. 6 descriptive titles of God's Word. 6 characteristic qualities of God's Word. 6 divine effects declared that God's Word creates. 6 is the number of man. You know what God is saying? Everything man needs is within the confines of that book right there. God's Word. David writes about the wonder of God's Word after contemplating the wonder of God's world. And why wouldn't he do that, folks? It was God's Word that created God's world. He spoke it all into existence. Everything that we see. It's the Word. These are two, the Word and the world. These are both two great voices from God. And so David is contemplating the worlds that God made and the Word that God gave us. And it's the world that shows us the glory of God. And it's the Word that tells us about the grace of God. And we need both. And as a young shepherd boy, David took all of that in. And he rejoiced in both the world and the Word. And David ends his tribute to God's Word by saying in verse number 10, look at it. More to be desired are they than gold. What's he referring to? That they is referring to the Word of God. The law and the testimony and the statutes and the commandment and the fear and the judgments of verses 7, 8, and 9. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Desired, hungered for, longed for. That's sweeter than also than honey. And the honeycomb. What's he saying? He's saying that God's Word is profitable and God's Word is pleasurable. God's Word is for your profit. Talking about gold there. Who doesn't want a profit? Did you ever want a profit in life? Did you ever desire profit? Did you ever desire gain? You didn't go to work just for nothing. Nobody ever started a business just to have something to do. People go to work. People desire profit. They desire gain. And people desire pleasure. It's part of how God made us. And the God is saying, my Word is profitable for you and my Word is pleasurable for you. Both of it, the child of God, both profits and finds pleasure from the Word of God. So God says, like you would desire to make money and like you would desire to enjoy pleasure, you ought to enjoy and desire and long for the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, how do we learn it? This great book. This great book that's for our profit. This book, this great book that's for our pleasure. How do we learn it? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28 this morning. Isaiah chapter 28 had no idea that yesterday morning Brother Luke in the bus meeting was going to use Isaiah 28 as his message, as the text for his message. And the very verses that he read are in my lesson, my message this morning. I had no idea he was going to talk about that yesterday. How do we learn? How do we desire this profit and desire this pleasure that comes from the Word of God? Well, folks, if we're going to benefit from it, if we're going to profit from it, if we're going to find pleasure in it, we have to learn it. How do you learn it? How is God's Word disseminated? You know, listen very carefully. We've been blessed to grow up in a country, to be born and reared in a country where the Bible is at least somewhat respected and reverenced, although we are a long ways from where we used to be. And now, after generations of no Bible in the public schools, now you will run into adults who absolutely know very little about God's Word. It's one of the blessings and one of the pleasures of seeing adults come to Christ. And I won't embarrass this person by pointing them out, but there's a fairly new Christian in our midst this morning. Was saved and baptized here and just started growing. And the things that they would learn, the things that they would read in the Bible, they would call the Christian friend that they had here in the church and say, I was reading in my Bible, I read this. This is unbelievable. You and I take that for granted. So this wonderful book, God's Word that's for our profit and for our pleasure, how is it disseminated to man? How does man learn it? How does mankind profit from it? How does mankind find pleasure in it? It's what God said it was for. It's for your profit. It's for your pleasure. It's my Word. Well, look at chapter 28 in the book of Isaiah and verse number 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You see, this book contains great profit. This book contains great pleasure, but it must be taught. Are you with me? Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You know, when you've heard me tell the story about when I went to work in Bible college over here at Thrall Carr, welding railroad cars. I don't know that I had even, up until that time, even seen a welder. I'm talking about a welding machine. Until I walked into that factory and had that helmet on, my metatarsals and my yellow smiley face on both sides of the helmet that told everybody in the factory, he's a rookie. And I held in my hand that night, the foreman, Bill Smith, took me to a little table. You ever welded before? No, sir. He said, well, it's easy. Here's what you do. I held that welding stick in my hand, a hand welder. It wasn't a MIG welder. I got that later, but the hand welder. And he said, you put the rod in here like this, and then you take this piece of scrap steel because you're going to practice all night, and you lay one flat, and you put this one perpendicular to it, and you go like this. Man, I can zzz all night. Then he put it in my hand. He said, now do it. And he put another piece of steel down there, put a piece perpendicular to it. No sweat. And if you've ever welded, you know what I'm talking about. It's stuck. And I'm trying to unstick it. And by the time I get done, the whole rod is orange. It's burnt up. Wow. I had to learn to weld. Can I tell you there was profit in that? By the time I got done, 1979, I was making close to $9 an hour. That's pretty good money back in those days. There was profit in it, and can I tell you that there was some measure of pleasure in it? There wasn't much pleasure in grinding the welds. But there was, man, when you put two pieces of steel together like that, and you start on one end of this great big piece of steel as part of a railroad car, and you got about a 3/8 inch gap to fill there, and you start with that MIG welder, you come all the way across there, and that weld is just, and then you take your little slag hammer and knock off the slag. That thing's shiny. There's pleasure. I never was in the service, but hoo-ah! You know. I'm not. If you've ever welded, you know what I'm talking about. I had to learn that. You have profit. You have pleasure in things that you've learned. Some of you men, many of you men, you're in jobs that you enjoy. Yeah, it's work. Yeah, it's sweat. Sometimes, yeah, it's mentally draining. But you know what? You're made to work. You're made to accomplish. And you found some profit in it. And you found some measure of pleasure in it. But you had to learn it. Now, this book right here that's made for our profit and made for our pleasure, how do we learn it? How is it disseminated? Well, the Bible, look at what it says. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Look at these next words. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Little children. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And we're talking about the knowledge of God's Word and doctrine, the doctrine of God's Word. Who is he going to teach you? Who is he going to help to understand the God, the prophet, the pleasure that's in the Word of God? It's those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And you do study on that, you'll find out that in the Jewish culture, many times the little Jewish children were weaned right to the time they went to school. Went right from the mother's breast to school. And they were taught and instructed from the time that they were little. Don't make light of that, folks. Little minds can understand and learn. Little children back there in that 10 o'clock nursery where Tasha is and those ladies that help her in there have been doing it forever. How long? And they teach them those songs and those little two-year-old kids start singing those songs. They learned. in the time that they were little. Look at how he says in verse number 10, here's how it's going to be taught. Here's how the profit and pleasure from God's Word is going to be disseminated to people beginning at childhood. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And here it is right here. It's just going to be given out a little bit at a time. You know, if you go to the doctor, you've been sick and you get a prescription, you know, and he gives you a bottle of 30 pills. You don't go home and take all 30 at once. Go home and take one. And 6 hours later, you take another. And 6 hours later, maybe you take another. Two a day, three a day. It's a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And God said, How do I teach knowledge, and to whom do I teach knowledge, and who do I teach doctrine? Whom do I teach doctrine, and how do we? Well, we teach it to the little children, starting at the little child's age. And how do they learn it? They learn it a precept upon precept. They learn a precept from God's Word, and then later they learn another precept from God's Word, and then another precept from God's Word, and then another. And it's line upon line. It's a process. It's a building. It's construction. It's like Brother Luke was talking about yesterday. It's like a mathematical equation. This is added to this. This is here a little and there a little. It starts when they're real young. That's how the pleasure and the profit of God's Word is disseminated to His people. It's taught. A little at a time. You don't learn the whole Bible in one visit to church. But you spend a lifetime attending God's house and the services of God's house. And do a little reading on your own, you'll be amazed how much you learn about God's Word. They say, Pastor, what is this? Does this message have a point? Does it have an application? Yeah, it does. It does. I've been going somewhere. It's taken me a while to get there, but I've been going somewhere. I mentioned tonight after the service, we're going to give you the details of the fall program that lasts through the end of this month, the 8th and the 15th and the 22nd and the 29th. Just a little time of special emphasis, and it's entitled One Goal. And the goal of this program specifically is to strengthen our Sunday school ministry. Sunday school ministry. I told the teachers about it some weeks ago. To strengthen our Sunday school ministry. Sunday school, here, another name you might see it advertised on a track or a website. It's called Family Bible Hour. That's because there's something available for every member of the family. It's held from 10 o'clock on Sunday morning to 10:45 before this 11 o'clock service. And we have several people who do not attend the Sunday school hour. They don't come at 10 o'clock. This is your first visit here to our church, or you're stopping in for a service. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to those of us who are members at Faith Baptist Church. This is our church home. And by the way, I'm not talking about kids. I'm not talking about teenagers. The kids and the teenagers, by and large, who are in this service are here for the 10 o'clock hour. I'm talking about several adults that just don't attend Sunday school. You know, the Sunday school ministry was birthed in churches years and years and years ago. This is not a new thing. Well, I don't find it in the Bible. Paul talks in the New Testament about traditions that have been handed down. Jesus railed against traditions of men that took away from the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. We're talking about things that have been profitable and useful in ministry that were you don't necessarily find in the context of the Scripture, but they've been beneficial and handed down. And it started in the late 1700s. Most people credit the organized Sunday school time to a man named Robert Raikes and Thomas Stock, those men. But there are records indicating that Sunday school was held even earlier than their time, in the late 1700s. And the reasons for Sunday school were many. It was used to teach kids to read. You ever heard of the McGuffey readers? They taught the Word, they used the Word of God to teach kids to read. It was the result of people it was the result of people desiring to learn more of God's Word. Not less. More. It was the result of the revival movement known as the Second Great Awakening. It started sometime in the mid to late 1700s and carried over into the early 1800s, that Second Great Awakening. It was the result of that. And the result of that awakening swelled churches. And one reason it did, it helped to satisfy the hunger that was in the hearts of God's people for God's Word, which is exactly what Psalm 19 said. To the degree that you hunger to profit in this life, to the degree that you enjoy pleasure in this life, to that same degree, desire the profit and the pleasure that's in this book. Desire. That's why it was started. People were not looking for a way to have less Bible teaching. They were looking for a way to have more. Well, more. I want some more. That was the result of it. It's a ministry of the church, and it is a great ministry. It's an important ministry. It's a ministry just as vital as the preaching of God's Word is at this hour on Sunday morning. 11 o'clock is a time of preaching. It's heralding divine truth. It's a preacher coming to the pulpit with a message on his heart and lifting his voice, involving his mental faculty, his emotional faculties, his physical faculties. That's preaching. Preaching is correction, and preaching is confrontational, and preaching is comforting. It's what God said in His Word. But brother, 10 o'clock, it's a time of precept upon precept, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, here a little, there a little, here a little. I'm not saying you won't learn the Bible by coming to the preaching services at 11 o'clock, but friend, the place to really get to know the profit and pleasure that's in this book is in the Sunday school hour. Here a little, there a little. It's a time of teaching. Sometimes going through a book in the Bible. Sometimes going on a survey of the well-known stories of the Bible, which is where we are right now. We started a little while ago into a three-year curriculum. It won't last forever, and then we'll go to another curriculum. And it may be just a complete study of one book of the Bible or a topical study of something that flows from Genesis to Revelation. But it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. It's here a little and there. Folks, it's a great place to learn the truth of God's Word and to fellowship with fellow church members. Why are you skipping Sunday school? Why are you doing that? It's okay, folks. Take a breath. Listen, are we going to be a church that goes the way of all the other contemporary liberal churches of this day? I got an article back there. I can't wait to read you. It's written by a guy who's on the radio. His name is Matt. What did I tell you this morning? Walsh? Whoa! He's not even an independent Baptist. He cleans churches' clocks. He stopped in a service and heard a message based on Toy Story. And he had a friend who heard a message based on Spider-Man. He says, you preachers, the trouble is you preachers, you're starving your people. You don't want to make them uncomfortable. If you were here Wednesday night, that was uncomfortable from Justin Leisure, but man, was that needed. Whew. So I'm not afraid to address this. Why are you skipping Sunday school? Am I being ugly? That's a fair question. Okay? Sunday school has been used to build great Christians. Sunday school has been used to build great churches. Why are you skipping it? What does Sunday school absence suggest? disinterested in God's Word? What does it suggest? If it was created because people had a hunger for more. Well, none of the teachers interest me. You've got to be kidding. You know, Jack Howes was a great, great pastor and preacher. And he's not a perfect man by any sense of the means, but great man. I benefited from his ministry. And he said, you know, everybody knows something I don't know. Hence, all men are my teachers. You got to be kidding me. You're telling me, oh, you're saying, Pastor, every time I sit down in a Sunday school class, I'll learn something I've heard before? No. And if it's something I've heard before, why do I need to hear it again? Did you eat more than once yesterday? You plan on eating over here today? Did you eat breakfast this morning? Why are you going to eat lunch? Well, I need it. Thank you. That's why I come to Sunday school. I need it. You know, not every Sunday, you know what? Once in a while, you know, it's a message or a lesson. But I've heard this from the top. And your perspective changes when you hear a lesson in second grade and hear the same lesson or topic in seventh grade. That's a whole new perspective. And leftovers aren't bad. In fact, sometimes leftovers are better the second time around. I think spaghetti is always better the second time than the first time. What does this suggest? I'm too busy to give God 2 hours on Sunday morning? Well, that's really, folks, too bad. Because Sunday, it's not God's morning. This is His day. And, you know, it's not just God's hour on Sunday morning from 11 to 12. It is His day. Why? And I know we made some changes in classes a little over a year ago. And we stopped one class and started another class. And, you know, well, I lost my class. Well, there's other classes out here. Jump in. Why are you skipping Sunday school? It's about fellowship. It's about learning the Word of God. Can I say, let me just give you some suggestions this morning. Number one, pick a class. You know, we have kind of age group classes, but we're not hard and fast by that. If you're a college and career age person, you probably won't benefit in Brian Maxwell's class. Or if you're in Brian Maxwell's age group, which is 55 and over, you probably won't benefit everything in Jeff Reardon's college class. But we're not hard and fast by those age groups. Pick a class. For you single folks that are out of high school, age 25, 27, 28, Brother Jeff's got a great class. They have a lot of fun. They got an activity tonight. And then, you know, you get a little older, you're young married. There's the first love class that's taught by Ryan. Meets upstairs here. No, meets over in the other building now. It's for young married couples, age 25 to 35 or so. And then you go, if you're a little older than that, you got kids, you know, and you're getting into middle age maybe, you know, if you say, you know, 35 is half of 70. So, you know, 35 to 50 or 55, you got Greg's class. He does a great job over there for couples, single people are in his class. You don't have to be married to be in there. Larry Johnson has a mixture of ages, mixture of single, mixture of married. I teach a discipleship class. If you've been coming to church here but have never gone through a discipleship class, come on. That only lasts 16 weeks. Come take it. Brother Maxwell has the Jubilee class, kind of 55 and up, and it's a good class. They have a good time there. You know, Mom is new here. She said more than once to me since coming here just about a month ago, I really enjoy Brian Maxwell's class. It's a good teacher. Wayne Irvin has a men's class. No disrespect to anybody. But you'll go a long ways to find somebody that knows that book better than Wayne Irvin. Including me. Jesse Kent has a ladies' class. You men, you're single, you're up in life, maybe late 30s, 40s. You don't feel like going where there's married couples. Go to you ladies the same way. And by the way, married couples, you don't have to be single or, you know, if you see enough of each other during the week. I'm serious as a heart attack. Some Monday mornings around the house, my wife will look at me and say, "Don't you have somewhere to go this week?" I'm serious as a heart attack. "Aren't you traveling?" "Yeah, I got to leave here." Oh, let me help you. What can I do?" So if you're a man here, you and your wife, we don't have to sit together in Sunday school. We sit together in church. Let's go to the men and women's class. But why are you skipping Sunday school? It's a ministry. It's a ministry of the church. It's a church time. So pick a class. Number two, get here on time. Folks, it amazes me. You know, guys can go to work at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. They can be at work Monday through Friday, even sometimes on Saturday, but 10 o'clock, oh, it's so early. 10 o'clock on Sunday is so early. Come on. Get here on time, man. Number three, bring your Bible. That's what it's all about. It's about God's Word. And when you come, bring your appetite. I enjoy that. They usually have some pastries and stuff. Yeah, I got that. But how about your appetite for this book? Huh? I'm for the fellowship. I'm not against the time of coffee and juice, whatever you do in your class. But teachers, and I will not say to you what I have not said to them by 10:15, it's lesson time. 30 minutes a lesson. You know, sometimes we can get talking about things and, talking about the National Football League and their stupidity. I'd really like to preach a whole sermon on that. We've made gods out of those guys. Whatever they like, we're told that because we bow down at the altar of the National Football League. Bring your Bible. Enjoy the fellowship. Start next week. Just make up your mind this morning. You know what? Next Sunday, we'll be here at 10 o'clock. We'll find me a Sunday school class. You'd like to know, if you really want to know, talk to me. Call me. Pastor, where do you think I would fit? When people go to my discipleship class and finish the discipleship lessons, we start talking about, okay, here's the classes. Our last lesson is all about Faith Baptist Church, and we spend a lot of time on the Sunday school ministry because the objective is to plug people in to a Sunday school class. And I don't say, well, you have to go to this class. I'd say, look, and the teachers know somebody coming out of discipleship class, they might try out this class or this class, but then land somewhere. Land. And don't float around like Casper the Friendly Ghost from class to class. Land in a class and build some relationships and bring your Bible, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. And some of you used to come. You're slipping. And I'm not afraid to tell you that. You're slipping. Get back into class. Bring your Bible. Bring an open heart. Bring a willing spirit, a ready mind, and sit there and enjoy the time with people close to your age, whatever, and then learn a little bit every Sunday about your Bible. It's for our profit. It's for our pleasure. God said, desire it like you desire to earn a paycheck. Like you desire to laugh a little and have some pleasure, fishing, hunting, time with your spouse, whatever. Just like you have those physical desires that are right and fine, have a spiritual desire to find profit, to find the profit and the pleasure that's in this book. Hunger for it. Obey God. Just obey God. Learn the book. Fellowship with others. Little poem. Precept. Line. Here a little. There a little. Wow. Whom shall I teach knowledge? Whom shall I make to understand doctrine, this book? We're going to start when they're real little. And at any age after that. And it's just going to be disseminated. Boom. 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 So people can profit and find the pleasure that's in this book. It's for your profit. It's for your pleasure. Come to Sunday school. If I come to Sunday school next week, that's an admission of what? Admission of what? Forget it. It's over. It's done. Past today. I've said my piece. Find a Sunday school class. Jump in. Get involved. Be where you're supposed to be. It's God's house. It's God's place. It's God's day. You're God's child. Hello? 2 + 2 + 2. Okay? Father in heaven, bless the message to our hearts this morning. Take it and use it to your glory and your benefit and your good. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having a Bible, for being saved, for, Lord, having the opportunity to learn the Bible. And I pray that you'll please bless our church to have a strong Sunday school ministry. Lord, we don't turn in figures. You know that. That's not the purpose of the message. The purpose of the message is to help build your people. So please help us to do that by being faithful to the services that you have for us to be a part of here at the church. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning. I'm just going to ask you as a church member, as God's child, would you give me a fair hearing about the ministry of Sunday school? And would you just jump in? And nobody's going to say anything. And you teachers, put the heavy out there. Don't you come in half-cocked. Unprepared, late. You be here, be ready, have a great lesson. Let's have a great month of October. Let's see if we can build people through Sunday school, the teaching of God's Word. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. We have people that can show you from the Bible how to be saved. You will be profitable, it will profit you to be saved, and you'll find great pleasure in becoming God's child. If you're not sure that you're saved, I would like to have prayer for you. Would you just slip your hand up while nobody's looking? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? If you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Obey the Lord today. Follow Him in believer's baptism. You can come. If you want to come pray this morning, just ask God to help you. If something I didn't even preach about, the altar is always open. Lord, would you bless the message to our hearts this morning in the spirit in which it was preached? Take it and do some good and help us. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning. For our profit and our pleasure, this book, the precepts of it, the truths of it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little.